Good, we're completing Simon Shin Lamed tonight. Mirza Hashem, we're then going to go right into Simon Shin Lamed Aleph. And we're up to Sif Ches. We mentioned yesterday that there's such a concept out of a baby born after 9 months. The Gemara calls a baby born after 9 months that he's unlikely to survive. 7 months, yes, he's premature, but he'll be all right. And certainly full term is also okay. But 8 months is a bit problematic, and the assumption is that a 8-month-old baby is not going to make it. This, of course, is nowadays not the case, and all the achronim point out that this halacha will not be the case nowadays, and even a baby born after 8 months, you have to do anything possible to enable the birth to be as smooth and as straightforward as possible, and obviously, if there's any complications, you will be allowed to chil Shabbos. But this is talking about previous generations in which Noilat Lishmona, in the Gemara's times, that is, in the Gemara's times, that Noilat Lishmona, 8-month-old baby born after 8 months, he's considered an effort, he's not going to survive. And here, therefore, it says as follows. Noilat Lishmona, a baby born after 8 months. Oi, Sofik ben Shiva, oi ben Shmona. Or alternatively, a baby which is born, we're not sure if it's 7 or 8 months, so he might be 7 months, we might be okay. He might be 8 months, which is certainly not okay. But if it's a suffix, so the halacha is, you have to assume that it's not okay, and you may, and it's a problem. Certainly, if shaloi gomrus sa'oroi v'tziponov, if his hair and his nails have not grown. So if the hair, and his nails have grown, that is also evidence that he's more developed, and you should certainly do chilul Shabbos if required. So here we're talking about if the hair and the nails have not grown in that baby. Also letalteloi, he's also letalted, is considered mukta, and you may not move him at all. Not only you're not allowed to do chilul Shabbos for him, but also he's considered mukta. Aval, but imoy soicha shoicha olav, his mother is allowed to sheicha olav umenikosoi, to nurse him and to nurse him, mipnei tzara cholav shemetzar, because of the mother's milk which is causing her pain. So that's not for the baby's sake, that's for her sake. She's in pain, engorged, and therefore she's allowed to nurse her baby, even though he's eight month pregnancy. V'cheini be'atzmo, and similarly her herself, yuchod li'yotzi biyodo acholav, she's allowed to express the milk herself, be'odo, with her hands, ametzar oisa, if it causes her pain. That's not because of the baby, but that's because of her own pain that she is in. The poskim say again, as I mentioned, the poskim say that this is not the case nowadays. Nowadays, we consider 8-month-old baby also there's sufficient reason to assume that you should be mechal Shabbos with, and certainly it's not considered mukta. Ziv tes. Meyashim evrei havlad. A baby goes through quite a, it's quite a thing to get through the birth. And it's quite, I don't know, I'm not sure how painful and how difficult it is for the baby, but it does get a bit squashed. Miyashim evrei havlad shen isparku. And therefore you're allowed to be miyasha, to straighten out evrei havlad. A newborn baby sometimes a little bit, I don't know if squashed is not the right word. What's the right word? A newborn, the first day, will it look a bit squashed? It is a word. Okay, good. Rabbi Kagan confirms that is the word. So now if you want to, you want to straighten him a little bit. So you're allowed to do that. If there's anything you can do to physically make the body of the baby more straight and more straight, then miyashin evrei havlad, you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. You're allowed to straighten up the limbs of the baby. Shenis polku machmas tzara leido, that because of the difficulty of the birth, got a little bit out of place and out of shape, you're allowed to straighten this up on Shabbos. And Mishnah Berurah Sefkot Lamed Gimel explains that miyashim means biodam, even with your own hands, you're allowed to do that. Mishnah Berurah Sefkot Lamed Dalet tells us, Mimachmas Tzara Leido, Kosam Mogen Avram, Mogen Avram tells us, Tafke Biyoim Aleido, this is only on the day of the birth. Aval Achakach also, but if it's after the first day, you won't be allowed to do that anymore. So if Shabbos is the second day, you won't be allowed to do it anymore. But, Aval Behemes Ma'a Bepoiz Kimash Menin Chiluk Bezeh, Many Achronim say that there's no difference. First day, second day, tenth, it doesn't make a difference. Even after 10 or 20 days, you have to straighten up the body of the baby if you need to be on Shabbos. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not sure if the comparison is fair. I'm not sure. Some person can want to compare this to the, I think, did you ask? Had the teeth braces to straighten up the teeth on Shabbos and therefore inserting braces to straighten up the teeth on Shabbos. So they want to compare. Is it a comparison? Yes or no? So if you're learning, you're allowed to miyasha the evrei havlad. You're allowed to straighten up the limbs and the bones of a baby, of a newborn. You're allowed to do that. So is that a fair comparison to an adult's teeth? What do you think about it? Pardon? Here we're not doing it for the tzar of the child. We're not doing it for the tzar. It was caused because of the tzar, because of the challenge. But it's not because of tzar. The baby's probably not in pain because of that. We're probably doing it for aesthetic reasons, for the baby to develop into. What do you think? Is it comparison or not? So just like you're allowed to straighten up the body of a baby, similarly also you're allowed to put braces to straighten up your teeth. What do you think? Is that a fair comparison or not? Is that a correct comparison? You see that the teeth is not something which has any sakana in it, and you wouldn't be justified. It's not considered a legitimate reason to be mechal Shabbos. As opposed to, if we're talking about the general body, the general shape of the baby's body, that is more important. Yes, I agree. I agree. I think that there's it's a poor comparison. It's a poor comparison. Yeah. Okay, Sif Yud. It's a bit of a continuation of the earlier Sif. You wrap up the baby. At times, the baby needs to be wrapped up in order for some bones seem to be a little bit out of shape, perhaps even crooked. And in order to, I suppose it's the equivalent of a bandage or equivalent of a cast, perhaps, that you wrap up the body, that part of the body, in order to make it straight. You'll have to do that on Shabbos or not. Here, the Sif Yud tells us, Mutar lekochev b'vgadov, you'll have to wrap him up in material, shleis ak mevorov, that the body shouldn't be crooked. So, I think that's pretty much the equivalent of a tight cast. See, if Yudala tells us, Imnofna orlas groin havlat. I've forgotten the correct translation. What is this flap called in our throat? It's called like a flap. What is the word of it? Esophagus. What is that? Esophagus? Esophagus? Epiglottis. Epiglottis. I think that's what it is. That's it. That's it. So what do you call it? Epiglottis. I think it's called the epiglottis. It's a flap. I'm talking about this flap. The flap that the food goes in the right pipe kind of thing. Yeah, it makes sense? I think. So I'm not talking about the food pipe. I'm talking about the flap. This is what I'm talking about. Well, you're a lot further than some of us having GCSE in biology. Yes, so all our respect. So this is what we're talking about over here. Imnoflo olas groin avlad. If this, what was it called again? Epiglottis. Because a little bit if this it got a little bit out of its correct place, and now you want to, the flap is not in its right place. So now what you want to do is you want to put a finger in the mouth of a baby we're talking about. So you want to stick your fingers in there in order to reposition it. Thank you. That's the word. Reposition it. So are you allowed to do that on Shabbos or not? Yiddish Shulchan Aruch tells us. So the Orla's groin of that is this flap. You're allowed to put a finger into the mouth of the baby. And to replace it, reposition it in its correct place. Although, that at times, he will vomit. Nevertheless, you have to do that. So you are causing, so the point of it is twofold really. There's two points. One is that, I suppose the main point is that what are you doing by putting a finger there? What are you mice doing? Why should it be a problem? Tikkun mona? That's it. It's certainly refuah. It's certainly refuah. You're healing an issue over here. I'm not sure. It doesn't appear to be life-saving. I do not know what happens if it's not done. I don't have a feeling that it is life-threatening. It doesn't seem like it from the poskim. So, if it's about refuah, so Shulchan Aruch tells us it's not refuah. Now, that Shulchan Aruch says not refuah. Why is it not a problem? Why is it not refuah? Vomit. And therefore, it's not refuah. It's not essential. So, we're saying that you are allowed to do it. You say it's not refuah. Why is it not refuah?
You are
allowed to do it. Mutter losim etz palasuch piv. You're allowed to stick your fingers in there. Why are you allowed to do it? So you think that's istech brim. It's like a normal thing that happens with babies, and therefore it's quite common. You think that's quite common. It lacks its intrinsic refuah aspect. So I'll tell you what I would have thought, but it's I have a bit of a kasha here. I don't know the answer. Shulchan Aruch said, Mishnah Berurah said, if cotton lamed vav muta, lo yigazrinu b'shum refuah, it's not considered refuah. To uche letinoik, it is normal. It is normal for the baby. So that's pretty much what you're saying, Rabbi Feingold. To uche letinoik lipoil horlas l'shoyne v'lo mechzik refuah. It's quite a common thing. It will happen to the baby still. If it goes out of place at times, it's not fully developed, it's not fully, you know, it only matures a bit as the baby grows older. So it's quite a normal thing, and therefore by sticking your fingers in there, you're not really doing refuah. It's more like, it's too common to be considered refuah. It's too common. It's the kind of exercise that is done frequently. Now, I'll tell you, I have at least one problem with this, and perhaps even two problems. The main problem that I have with this is that we learned earlier a very, very important yesod. Do you remember about the hot water bottles? That whole sugya? Yeah, this hot, warm, emptied bottle that you put on the stomach to heal at tummy aches. Do you remember? Mm-hmm. Where was it, Mutter? I think it was Sifkot and Kufyud Dalet. In Shin Chof Ches, if I'm not mistaken. It's a very important Mishnah Berurah. So we learned the Yesod. Let me just get to the right place. It's not Kofidalit, it's a little bit... one minute. Yeah, Seif Mem Gimel. Do you remember also the shower? If dislocated shoulder, dislocated muscle, we're allowed to have showers. What was it? Why is it not refuah? So the Mishnah Berurah explains to us in Sifkot and Kuf Lamed. A very important yesod. Do you remember it? That whenever the healing can only be achieved in a technical way, and it cannot be achieved with a refuah, we said that it's mutter. Do you remember that? That we learned that if you cannot achieve the same result through medicines, then there's no gzeirah shchikas hamonim. Do you remember that? If it's something that, right, what was it? Another example would be, pardon? Whenever there is something that you cannot achieve
through medicine,
yeah, it's mutter.
Then you can have a natural remedy.
Correct.
Like a hot water bottle.
Correct. That's it. Precisely it. So that's Kivkot and Kuvmem Mishnah Berurah. So if that's the case, I'm not sure. Is there any way you could achieve that same? You can't. You have to put your finger in there in order to sort it out. No medicine will do the trick. You have to stick the fingers in to put it right in its right place. No medicine is going to do it. So the chol should be mutter. Yeah, but I'm saying that the reason is Mishnah Berurah says urcheb letinoik, and I think that there should be another reason here too, at least. Yeah. Now you are saying that Rabbi King, your underlying question is it's takim mutter. So maybe there's two reasons why it should be mutter, perhaps. Yeah, perhaps, but. No, perhaps you're right. Perhaps you're right. Yeah, Taka, there's two reasons why I should be mutter. Yeah, it doesn't sound like it. Okay, we move on. Simon Shin Lamed Aleph. Shin Lamed Aleph Dine Mila B'Shabbos. He's talking about Halacha of a Bris Mila on Shabbos. Anybody had to do a Bris on Shabbos? Yeah, you made a Bris on Shabbos?
Yeah.
When was that? For whom?
Avi.
For Avi was Taka Bris on Shabbos? Yeah? And it's, Uriel was on Shabbos?
I may have,
yeah? Yeah?
They always are cramped at Shabbos Bris.
You Bris was on Shabbos? Okay, it's very okay. So, Tine Mila B'Shabbos. Oisim Kol Tzorki Mila B'Shabbos. You have to do it. It's a Mishnah in Masach Shabbos. You have to do all the requirements for the Mila on Shabbos. Merlin V'Poirin U'Moitzin V'Noistim Olav Kamoin. You have to do the Mila. You have to do the Priya, which is the second part of the actual Mila. Right? There's the Mila, the actual Mila, which is the cutting. Then the Poirin, which is the turning over, the putting back. Moitzitzin is the Metzitza, the taking some of the blood. For Noisim of Kamon, you also have to place the Kamon in it, which we're going to see in Mishnah Berurah. That is a type of medicine. It's like it's a medicine to heal the wound. So the Mishnah Berurah explains over here, why are you allowed to do all that? Surely there's many melochas involved in doing a Bris Mila on Shabbos. There's numerous melochas involved in doing a Bris Mila on Shabbos. Why are you allowed to do it? So the Mishnah Berurah explains, in Sefkot Aleph, the Ksiv of Yoyim HaShmini Himol, the Poskel explicitly, on the eighth day you should do a Bris Mila. Beyoyim HaFilo B'Shabbos. It says Beyoyim, which seems to be a superfluous word, and therefore we're learning from here, the Gemara learns, that even on Shabbos, yes, Mila is doing Shabbos, but that's obviously only if it's a Bris Mila B'Zmanoi. Mishnah Berurah of Cotton Base tells us Moitzitzin. The Afal Gav that the Metzitza Hadam Nitik Mechiburoi. Although by doing the Metzitza, the blood will leave the place and will the Havel Ekhovelin. You're doing Chavola. You're doing a Chavola, but by doing the Metzitza, you're actually this you're moving the blood from its place. You're doing Chavola. You're causing a wound. That's the metzitza causes the wound. Afal pikein, nevertheless, moitzin you're allowed to the sucking, you're allowed to the metzitza mishum. There's a kona of blood, kishalayim tzitzadon, because it's a kona. If the blood remains there, it could be dangerous, and therefore, Chachomim have established that you're allowed to do metzitza on Shabbos because of a sakon involved. I would like to point out, there's a widely quoted Mishnah Berurah in the bottom of this page of Yembi Alocha. Purim Moitzin, he discussed over here the idea of metzitza bepeh. And there's a very, very surprisingly lenient bialoch over here. I can't say shockingly, but a very, very, a very surprising bialoch. He says, while I had to do mitzitzah, it was this very big controversy about mitzitzah before, which exists to this very day. Is mitzitzah is generally done with the mouth. Right? The moel will do the mitzitzah before with his mouth. He will take some of the blood with his mouth. And that's what the halach requires. Come on. Mitzitzah is done before. You had to do mitzitzah with a different keli. You had to do mitzitzah differently for various reasons. This was, of course, a very, very big discussion. Some if worried of infections or anything, and the world doesn't want to do mitzitzah b'fei, wants to do it through a keli. So he had to do that or not. And here the Bialach tells, I'm b'tshuvas binyan tzion, simn chav gimel, the mitzitzah dafke b'fei, v'lo ledu v'achem. So the very traditional, I can't call it traditional, the very the straightforward and natural approach of all the poskim is that yes, the Gemara says matzitza has to be befeh. You've got to do it with your mouth. Matzitza must do befeh. You can't use a keli for that. You may not use any other utensils for that. Veloyal did of achim may not be through something else. That she has been in sin. It says that yes, matzitza must be done with his mouth. And not like what the modern doctors have developed, the new utensil can use to do the matzitza. And the biolog continues, the Yad Eliezer says, no, you don't have to be so stringent. You'll have to matzitza with a sponge. You have to matzitza, that's also matzitza. The main point is that the blood gets out. So who cares? You don't have to suck it. You can also do it with a sponge, says the Yad Eliezer. It doesn't mean dafka matzitza befer. And Yad Eliezer says that no, actually, it's even better because it comes out, it sucks more than a mouth, and therefore it's even better. Sure, you can do it with a sfoik, you don't have to do it with a mouth. It looks like the bialocha is maker. Now, this is considered a very extraordinary in bialocha because it's considered quite a modern invention, it's not the normal approach to do in most traditional, conventional Merlim, we're going to do mitzvah befer. But here you see that it came from not such a good place, really, to remove the mitzvah befer. It came from an element in Klal Yisrael which was seeking to introduce new concepts. It didn't come from the, and unless Bialoch is fine with it, he says, yes, it seems to be matir. So that's with regards to, so mile on Shabbos is fine, despite its melachos. Priya is fine, metzitza, and even the kamoin to be placed there is fine as well. You have to put the kamoin there, which is the medicine, has explained Mishnah of cotton. Gimel, kamoin, ayudakim losses mean besomim, shochuk lirafur. It's ground herbs, which will help the bris mile to heal. That's fine, that you'll have to do that. What in losses is planis, tachpush, I mean also any plasters or any, anything that you put there to heal the bismillah, that is mutter as well. So that's what the Mishnah is matter. Good. Save base we'll cover tomorrow. I just want to add something. I heard something from from Benji Goldberg shared with us something. I'm not quite sure, but you might know more about this. There was in relating to yesterday's shiur, we said at the beginning of yesterday's shiur, we mentioned that about Eva. Do you remember that discussion? Moshe is Matia what?
The doctor.
That's right. The doctor is allowed to even do the Reises on Shabbos for Goy. Right, so that's what we discussed, that Mishnah Berurah is only matir d'rabbanan, and the rest. And why is the Moshe matir? Because he says that nowadays. Okay, so we said that Moshe is a chiddush, or whatever, and we discussed it. Now, apparently, please check it out, but apparently I was told yesterday that there was something called the Crown Heights. The Crown Heights, can you tell us a bit about, do you know about it? It's the Crown Heights? The Crown Heights riots. I don't know what year it was. It was about 10, 15 years ago. I'm not quite sure the details. But it's precisely what happened. It was a Hatzalah call on Shabbos. And there was a Yid who got injured. Don't know what the story was. And next to it was also a Gentile who got injured. And the Hatzalah went and with the ambulance and they saved life. They looked after the Yid who got injured in the... I don't know if it was an accident. I don't know the details. Please do check. It's probably quite easy to check the details. And they saved him and they looked after him. Meanwhile, they did not look after the Gentile because they felt there's no Evo. I don't know what the psak was. They felt that they can't do the rises for him. I'm not quite sure what the background. I don't know the details, but I do know is they didn't look after him. They didn't look after the Gentile, and he was left behind whilst the ambulance took the Eid and looked after him. And this he was. I don't know if he died or he nearly died. I'm not quite sure, but this caused. They were so upset that the local community there, they got really, really angry with it, and this caused riots, tremendous riots against, they're not looking after our man, they only look after theirs, And it caused riots that eventually actually were escalated to such an extent that actually Yidden lost their life from these very, very violent riots that took place. And apparently it's called the Crown Heights, riots, which was in about 10, 15, or, I don't know, do you know how many years ago it was? Oh, 20, perhaps 20 years ago, yeah. So these are, and this will be a very, very straightforward, clear piece of evidence that, yes, the Moshe's Psak makes total sense, even in our century, that if you don't do, the Rai says, yes, we're always a step away, we're unfortunately still in Golos, we're always a step away from Sakonas Nefoshes, and whilst, of course, it appears, Baruch Hashem, but it was, we have to keep in mind that it's not just...
In 1991, and Rabbi... from the Babbage Rebbe, from the brothers, vehicles were moving in a particular direction.
Okay.
It hit a Yiddish person and it hit a Goyish person. They saved the Yiddish person.
They saved the Yiddish person.
It kind of happened on Shabbos because.
I see.
The person from the brothers was being driven.
I see. Okay. Okay. So, okay, good, fine. Okay, I'll upon him. The point of it escalating to riots, you see that they certainly. Well, the point will still be true even if. Yeah, the point. Good. Okay, so the main thing is that we should appreciate that and to understand where we're sitting, Golos. Fine. These are the points covered this evening. I would like to wish you very, very good Shabbos. And Beis Hashem, we'll continue Beis Hashem next week, Sunday as usual, Beis Hashem. I wish you a very good evening, good Shabbos to all. Yeah.